The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Whether or not spring football will ever be interesting for people is another story.
Well, it gives us something to do. I'm already depressed that there's only one meaningful game.
Yeah, right.
So if I can bet on it and do okay
on
it?
No, you can.
Okay.
Then because they said, actually, they said yesterday, and I didn't see today's, I didn't see what it looked like on Fox, but they said ESPN had all the graphics up, and they had the lines with the unders over rolling across the bottom of the screen. Vince ain't, you know, like the NFL is real scared of that stuff. Vince ain't scared of it.
Hall of Fame voting in.
Oh, who's in?
Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter made it?
Missed being unanimous by one vote.
And what an a-hole.
I'd hate to be that dude. And
Larry Walker.
Larry Walker.
The only two.
He and Larry.
Do we know how close Clemens and Bonds were?
Kurt Schilling was at 70. Yeah. Clemens at 61. Bonds at 60.7. Billy Wagner got 31.7.
Kurt Schilling gets more votes than Roger Clemens. Come on.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Farron likes it. He'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. Now it's at the underscore Jermaine. I hate underscores. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can get on the Twitch channel. Comment there. Miss the first 2 hours. You missed John Granato. You missed the Hall of Fame talk. You missed a lot of sports talk. And that's just what we did. Very happy to have Granato on. Terrific dude. Always fun to do the show with him. But he had to light out early to go to the Houston Sports Awards. You know, apparently be the wife tonight. So,
like you said, he was told he was going.
Yeah, yeah. So Jermaine Avery filling in for the last hour, which always happy to have Jermaine here. And I got a little gift here for you. Take that with you.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, the guys from True Anomaly were in the first hour. And if you missed that, it's on the podcast, just like the rest of the first 2 hours are on the podcast at podcastarena.com. And go check those guys out. We're doing a beer with them. And somebody was asking me what the name was going to be. I think we're going to call it Falcon Heavy after the rocket. So to kind of go in with the theme. Plus, you know, it's a heavier beer and I'm a heavier guy. So it'll work beautifully. But yeah, it's if you haven't been by there, they're down in East Downtown. Go check them out. If you're at George R. Brown or any place around there, it's they're right there on St. Emmanuel, right around Rodeo Goat and all those places. Vinny's Pizza, you know, Warehouse Live. So
this beer, because you're doing it barrel aged in the bourbon barrels from Whitmire's, is going to be ready sometime next year.
No, it'll be ready this year. We're this looking year. at the fall. We're gonna,
okay.
I basically once he finishes up the actual recipe. This is a test batch. It's going to be a higher alcohol percentage than this. It's going to be closer to 10. And then once we get the barrels and age it for 6 months, and then there's some other stuff that goes to it. But I think realistically, we're looking at sometime during the fall, which is a perfect time for a heavier beer. And it's going to be a cinnamon porter aged in Whitmire's barrels, and it's going to be awesome. And I love the test batch. I love the taste of it. It's a perfect amount of cinnamon. It's exactly what I envisioned. So and Tom did such a great job with it. And those are cool guys, man. I try to drop in there every couple of weeks and, you know, and hang out, because it's just a cool place to hang out.
Well, the cool thing about it to me was that I didn't realize that those guys started off working at NASA.
Yeah.
So when I was listening to that, I was like, whoa, you literally have rocket scientists building your beer.
Exactly.
And that's legit.
Man, there were so many things. I was in there last weekend talking to Tom. There's just I'm fascinated by a lot of the stuff around the space program. Always have been. And I think part of that is I was growing up in that golden era when, you know, the astronauts were superstars. And so I was just amazing. Like, that's why I always love talking to Aaron's wife about stuff. It's like, I'm fascinated by it. But I had no idea that we were paying Russia a bunch of money to send our astronauts to the space station. It's just crazy.
That is the weirdest thing to me, because the United States normally prides itself on being like the big brother on the world block, you know? And to understand that we're paying another country who we really don't like, if we're going to boil down to it.
Some people like them.
Yeah.
Some people like them.
A select few. But why would we pay them to send our guys into space? I don't trust that. I don't trust that at all. Like, they could. What if they want to sabotage us?
Yeah, they easily could.
Exactly. See, I just don't trust it. I don't like it. Don't trust it. Not down with that at all.
I mean, it's been happening for 10 years now, so if something were to happen, it already would have happened.
How do you know they're not playing the long game?
Because that'd be the dumbest thing ever.
Maybe, but I'm just saying. I just don't know.
Remember when I made up the conspiracy theory about how the Russians were infiltrating our journalism with people like me? And, you know, it was basically going to be a 30-year plan to ruin our democracy. It's working.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, but they're not going to be sending up Americans on Russian Soyuz capsules for much longer. That's the whole point of SpaceX. So if they're going to make a move, they better get on it now. They're running out of time for this long game.
So when does that contract or whatever end?
Whenever SpaceX and Boeing get their stuff together and make it safe to send humans from American soil.
So we could actually be playing them, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know why you'd be giving them a lot of money to play them. Well, unless you're giving them, like, fake dollar bills.
True, true. I just like to play devil's advocate and think of different things like that, play the other side of the argument, that's all. But, I mean, you know, it's just a curious relationship that they have. It's almost like that one neighbor that you really don't like, but you're being nice to him for some reason. You know, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, well, I found it fascinating. I spent probably a half hour, 45 minutes listening to him tell NASA stories while I was there, and it was good stuff, man. So, but yeah, they're good dudes. They're obviously smarts, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the people getting a chance to try the beer because I think you guys will like it. So, unfortunately, I don't have any more of that for you. But I gave you their stout.
Hey, I can wait.
It's really good. So
I'm a patient guy sometimes.
They brought us a lot of beer, so we're all good. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You had an interesting column on Sports Map today.
It came to me like, I don't know, maybe about a week or so ago. And I'm looking at Bill O'Brien. I'm looking at all the moves he's made. And then I started going back and looking at all the other moves that were made, the power struggle with Rick Smith, so on and so forth. And I was just like, you know what? This guy reminds me of somebody. Who does he remind me of? And the first name that came to mind was John Gotti. And the more and more I started looking at it, I started like comparing him to different like crime lords, drug dealers, or whatever who came to power through nefarious means. And I started with Gotti, thought about Capone and Frank Lucas. But the other one that I thought of that I put in the article was Omar from The Wire. Because if you remember, when Omar came around, everybody scattered like roaches. I mean, the block looked like if you had roaches in your kitchen and you turned the light on, the roaches scatter or whatever. Like, that's what it looked like when Omar came around. And to me, it seems like Bill O'Brien is the embodiment of some sort of, like, not like a mob type figure, like somebody who's just like an overlord of the Texans right now, and he can't be touched. I mean, how can you take this guy out? There is no general manager to fire him. The owner is seemingly just sitting back and letting him do whatever he wants. There's only one person that can cut short what Bill O'Brien is doing, and he's not doing anything to cut it short. So it's like he has ultimate power. Frank Lucas was an interesting one as well when I was looking at different comparisons for him, because the reason why I came up with Frank Lucas is because Frank Lucas came up under Bumpy Johnson. Bumpy Johnson was known as the Godfather of Harlem. Bill O'Brien came up under Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is basically the godfather of coaches of the NFL. So that's where that comparison came in at. And I'm really hoping that he actually gets taken out somewhat like Capone did, where all of the stuff Capone did, the murders, the St. Valentine's Day massacre, you know, the prohibition stuff, everything that he did, he got taken down by income tax evasion and syphilis.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. You're wishing syphilis on Bill O'Brien.
Not exactly syphilis, because that can be cured with penicillin. I mean, that's he can get past it. I'm just wishing something similar takes him down.
I think you could have stopped at John Gotti. because John Gotti was basically, he was extremely famous, but he was a lousy-ass Don. Everybody thought he was great because he was the dapper Don and he was the Teflon Don, but he really wasn't very good at his job. And it was a lot of, there was a lot of flash there and a lot of publicity, but in the end, he just wasn't very good. And I think that's Bill O'Brien.
Very true. Very true. He thinks he's smarter than what he really is. You could probably say that about Gotti as well. I mean, taking mm-hmm. out Big Paulie and I can't remember the other guy's name that he killed at the same time, who was given the next in line status over him. But taking those two guys out, like, he had that one great power move, and then everything else was kind of meh from there.
Yeah, that was the six-game stretch of Deshaun Watson's first year.
Right, right. And so you look at it and think about it. What is going to take Bill O'Brien out? And that's what made me think of Omar from The Wire. Omar got taken out by the little kid Kennard. It's gotta be something that we're not expecting. We don't see it coming. And then one day, Cal McNair's, you know, his nuts drop, and he's just like, you know what, I'm sick of this. Get rid of this guy. So hopefully that happens soon, because I know a lot of Texans fans, they're extremely frustrated. And just me outside looking in, being here, having to write about the team on a week-in, week-out basis, it pisses me off when I have to keep writing the same things over and over.
Welcome to my world. I have one tomorrow that's a little more traditional about it. It's just with the consolidation of power, what that means in terms of what the team is going to look like, because basically he's getting rid of everybody who even remotely disagrees with him. And what's going to happen there is it's either, you know, I mean, they hope it's going to work, because you've got fewer voices, and that isn't necessarily a good thing. As far as management goes, I've always believed that you want people who have a different viewpoint, who will disagree with you. In the end, you still make the decision, but nobody's smart enough to be right about everything. So we'll see if it works. I mean, but it's been 6 years, and each time he's gotten more power, it hasn't made a difference. So now you're taking another step, and it's not all negative. It's not all, you know, this is stupid. It's, okay, this is your move. It better work.
You have to know what you don't know, and hire people who know what you don't know. And those people, you have to trust those people to know what you don't know. And Bill O'Brien is not there yet.
Well, I think there's a lot of arrogance there, that my way is the only way, it's the best way. And there's a lot of coaches like that. And there's a difference between, because coaching is not just X's and O's. It's managing an organization. And especially this guy who you've given more power, he's not just your offensive coordinator, he's your head coach, now he's your GM. Well, if you're going to manage an organization, I mean, there is a skill to managing that is completely different than coaching. I mean, they go hand in hand at times, but I mean, there's 1,000 things that go into being a good manager, and he doesn't have any of them. And I've worked with and for people like that, and long term, they were never successful. They might be successful for a short run, and I think that's what you're hoping for here. But in the end, you throttle the organization, and you lose all your best people.
Yeah, the only other thing they can hope for is that guys like Deshaun Watson and Justin Reed and some of the younger guys that they have can overcome the foolishness and stupidity of the decisions that O'Brien makes on the field.
Well, it might work for 1 year, and that's all anybody would care about. But at this point, you're getting dangerously into a territory. Well, I mean, I already did the research earlier this year. Once a coach has been somewhere for 6 seasons and hasn't made it to a conference championship game, he ain't winning a Super Bowl with that team. Might win it with his next team, but he's not winning it with that team. But again, maybe it's all going to be different.
It's a very hairy situation.
Jamie said, just tuning in. I thought Granato was filling in with you on the Blitz. He did for 2 hours. You missed him. He had to leave early to go to the Houston Sports Awards, which I didn't look to see who won. Well, I guess they announced them tonight. But I did vote, and I didn't get the vote for, like, who got into the hall, though. So I hope they didn't do a theme this year. And they got really mad at us because all of us were very critical of the fact that they did a theme. It made sense the first year when you had the 34s. Those guys are first. But then when you're doing stuff that's getting Dan Pastorini in before Warren Moon,
stupid.
Yeah, it is. And that's one where somebody just has to step back and say, hey, man, Let's not worry about putting themes on everything. Oh, well. Well, theme of the day. You want new hair? Go to my man, Dr. Linville. And, yeah, now I'm wearing a hat, but you missed that earlier, too. It's really coming in nicely, and it's fun coming in and having people notice it that hadn't seen me in a little bit. So, wow, that hair is really growing in. And it is, and it's fantastic. And you know, I was pretty bald. I was really about to just shave it all off and give up. And I looked into a bunch of stuff, and I didn't want to do hair plugs. I didn't want to do anything like that. But when I met with Dr. Linville, and he explained the procedure to me, the NeoGraft procedure, he takes individual follicles from the back of your head, where they're always going to grow, and puts them to where you're thinning. And he can even redraw your hairline. And he did. And it's been fantastic. And just, I feel better. And every day, it's fun to have a bad hair day now. Because like, I'll go out in that damn humidity and say, oh, man, it's fun to have that again. And it's all because of Dr. Linville. And the cool thing is, he had it done himself. So his hair looks great. Mine's looking a lot better. All you have to do is go to 975hair.com, get that consultation, find out what it's all about. 975hair.com, get your hair back.
Pressing on the gas, supernova for a night, like dreaming at my dad, and he told me it ain't Christ-like, but nobody never tell you when you're being...
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And people keep asking for hockey picks. I'm taking the All-Star break off starting yesterday. We'll be back after the break. Just... got a lot of other stuff to focus on, including a really big weekend of racing at Sam Houston that I needed to focus some time on. So I didn't really, you know, not enough games here on Monday and Tuesday to dive into it. So you guys will just have to wait till next week to keep the streak going, which it's getting a little insane now. I mean, I've got to have an 0-5 coming up.
What is your record now on hockey? Like, if at one point you were, what, 24-3 or something like that?
It's 46-7-4, which it's going to end. And... yeah, I had one push over the last week, and of course I took grief over that because the guy didn't bet the under. I gave an under and an over, and the over pushed, and the under won. I don't bet unders. What am I supposed to do? I can't make the bets for you. But yeah, it's ridiculous. It's going to end, and there's just no way that it'll continue like this. I found a couple things that have been tried and true. Vancouver on the road has been money. And, you know, really a lot of the games involving Winnipeg, it's just certain teams in certain situations. And it's just, you know, it's worked out really well. And, you know, glad to make the people money with it. But hopefully we'll be making the people some money out at Sam Houston. We'll be out at tight ends tomorrow in League City. So AJ will be back. And then Friday we'll be out at Sam Houston Race Park. We'll have probably a couple guests because this is their biggest weekend of the year with the Racing Festival on Sunday, which... if you're sort of a tangential fan of horse racing, I'll just tell you, you should go to the races Sunday. There will not be better quality racing anywhere in the country than there will be at Sam Houston Race Park on Sunday. They've got multiple stakes races, some of the best horses in the country. And you can't say, and really, I can't tell you the last time I said that, there won't be a better race card anywhere in America on Sunday.
Really? It's that good?
It's that good.
Interesting. I've never really been like a huge horse racing fan. I just remember as a kid going to the fairgrounds in New Orleans and
love the fairgrounds,
baking a couple of bets. And when I actually hit on some, my uncle would give me the money, and I'm like, oh, so you mean I can just pick horses and win money? Like, I thought it was just that simple. But yeah, that was like to the extent of my horse racing knowledge. I just looked at the horses, looked at the races. I didn't even pay attention to the numbers and the odds and whatnot. I was like, I like this one, and this one. And he'd bet it, and every so often I kind of hit on it. So that kind of started my like interest in gambling as a young kid.
Yeah, I love the fairgrounds. It's was a sad day when the clubhouse burned down, but they've rebuilt it nicely now, and it's in really good shape. And I guess they have Jazz Fest there every year.
Every year,
so. Yeah, but regardless, so A couple of other things that I wanted to get to that we have not gotten to yet. Have you gotten on Letterkenny yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. You need to. It's like become this huge hit for Hulu, and it's freaking hilarious. It's just, they're all so weird. I got Aaron on it. Finally got Aaron on a TV show. How far along are you now?
I'm almost halfway through the third season.
Okay. I didn't like season six. It felt like they were kind of running out of stuff. Season seven, where they start doing the talk shows, pretty funny. But season eight, man, they nailed it. It's back to being like it was the first few seasons.
How many seasons are they in?
They're eight, but they're only like seven or eight episodes.
Six or seven,
yeah,
depending
it's
on which
light. And it's just silly. The small town in Canada, and which is full of attractive people, apparently. And it's just funny as hell. And I highly recommend it if you haven't tried it. So
I'm gonna have to definitely get into it. But first, I gotta sweet talk the wife, because the daughter and I were all into, like, hey, let's get in on the Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Plus bundle. We can save the money every month, and we, you know, get the commercial free Hulu. So the wife was like, well, no, I don't want to do that because y'all always mess up my accounts and stuff. And we were like, well, no, we're trying to lay it out to her, explain it to her and everything. She wasn't getting it. So she got mad at us and kicked us off of her Hulu account. So now we have to log in under my son's profile to watch Hulu because the wife kicked me and the daughter off of the Hulu profile. So I have to sweet talk the wife to get back on the Hulu profile on my own. But I definitely will get into it because this does look like it's pretty funny, where it says the show begins. There are 5,000 people in Letterkenny.
Yep.
These are their problems.
Yeah.
I can see I'm probably going to like this.
And there's these three different groups of hicks who are the farmers, the skids who are the meth heads, and hockey players. And it's so quotable. I mean, it really is. That's the best part of it, is there's so many things that you'll find yourself saying on a regular basis.
Oh, man. I love, like, little quirky kind of shows like that have different little sayings that you can use and stuff, especially now that our kids are older. They're teenagers, so it's like they hear stuff and they say stuff and quote stuff, or we mess with each other about stuff, and it's just a whole lot better, a whole lot funnier that way. But yeah, this is definitely Canadian stuff, and it's a small town too, so I can imagine there's going to be some off the wall kind of comedy.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then once you get the natives involved, it's pretty funny. I'd give it a try. I think you'll like it. I've been watching that HBO series, the Outsider. Moves a little slow. I mean, I'm a big Stephen King fan. I like the book, but you know, it's good. But I'm hoping it picks up a little bit, because I'm three episodes in, and it's the first one was good, the second one was really slow, and the third one was kind of slow too.
So, you know, I find myself where if I pick up a show, I'm going to watch it pretty much through at least one season, maybe two. And I always will find something that'll hold my attention to make me want to finish it or whatever. And then by the time I finish it, then I'm like, ah, that was stupid. I wasted my time.
Yeah,
I can't do like you guys do. Like, you watch three or four episodes, okay, I'm out, and you eject, like, if you don't feel it.
Yeah, I'm too old. I don't have enough time left to waste it if it's not going to be something interesting. And then somebody asked, you watch the Mighty Gemstones. I thought it was good. It wasn't as good as I hoped it would be. I'll probably watch season two, but, you know, I thought it started off great, and then, you know, they kind of ran out of stuff. And then I've been watching, I watched that, the first Avenue 5 on HBO the other night, which looked pretty funny, and it was pretty funny. So we'll see how that goes. And it's only 30 minutes, which I like. But that's kind of what I'm on right now.
So I got one recommendation. I need more recommendations for stuff, because football season's over with, so I'll have more time to piddle around and watch stuff. So I need to send me some recommendations of stuff to watch.
Yeah, I got plenty of time right now, because I'm basically just staying home every night and most of the day. So, all right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Jermaine Avery filling in. John Granato filled in the first 2 hours. Appreciate both you guys. Yo, Adrian asked, you watch his Dark Materials. I did. It didn't do much for me. The problem is whenever you have a kid who's the main actor and they're really annoying, it's like I did my time raising annoying kids. I damn sure don't want to watch them on TV. That's why I'm not as big on Stranger Things as everybody else. And I'm kind of out on the whole orphan fantasy genre. It just, it was okay, but I wouldn't recommend it. And then I saw that they're not going to renew The Watchmen, that they only did that for 1 year, that the guy who did it felt like he only had that story to tell. Which I'm kind of glad, because I don't know that I would go back to it.
I think an HBO exec said yesterday that they're still thinking about it, if they can get somebody else to come in and do another season.
Yeah, I think they should stop there. I mean, it was okay, but I don't need to see another one.
That's where they're going to go wrong. I've often seen where I think the only show where they brought in different people to direct different series or whatever, different shows that actually worked out and kind of flowed, and it was like Game of Thrones, how they had different people come in and do different stuff.
Yeah, but you had source material they were working off
right,
of, too.
Right, but that's the thing. They had one source, but if you get a whole different source and a whole different person, it could take it in a direction that's just going to torpedo the whole thing, and people won't remember it as a good series.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I didn't love it. Just my old Wooly B thing. Like it, don't love it. But I thought it ended really well, and you didn't really need to do another one. But it doesn't look like they're going to. And then, and I know Westworld's starting up soon. I don't think I'm doing year three. It's funny how things were. I liked season one. Season two, they basically just bleep with you the whole time. And it's another one of those series that doesn't make any sense until the end. And to me, so there's whole episodes that make absolutely no sense. And you have to watch the whole series to figure them out. And then at the end, you're like, oh, so that's what that was. Ooh, boy, do I feel stupid. I hate that. And I kind of feel like that happened with Mr. Robot, where they jacked with me with the whole dream sequence in year two. I'm out. So I kind of feel that way about Westworld. I'm not going to invest any more time in something like that unless I read that it's significantly different.
Yeah, I don't like stuff where you have to watch like the entire series or an entire season to figure one thing out. It's like, tell the damn story, tell it well, and make interesting plot points in between. Like, don't have
you
this
can build
long,
up to it.
Thing.
Yeah, you can build up to it, but don't give me an entire episode that makes no sense until the end. And you know, the same guy who did Watchmen did Leftovers, and he did that with that show, which to me kept it from being, as great as it could have been. Let's take one quick call on this. William, what's up?
Hey, Fred, how you, man?
Sportsy, man. How about you?
Good, good. This is William Durham. Good to talk to you again, buddy. I miss you and Val, and hope to see you again soon.
Awesome, man. What you got?
We're talking shows right now, and, I go by a lot of the old standbys that you and I both love. But the new one I just watched was Witcher, and I thought that had way too many timelines, and it was very tough to keep up with. But the old standby Banshee, if he hadn't watched that yet, definitely watch that. Same thing with Strike Back, which is unbelievable. I also love Lucifer, and I thought that Lucifer was amazing, and I think you like that as well.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have one more season of that. I would have been okay with it ending where it did, because I thought that was a good ending, but I think they're doing one more on Netflix. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, what I heard is they're doing two split seasons, like 8 and 8. On Lucifer, so I hope that comes out. But I'm just talking about some different shows. If you hadn't binge watched yet, the Banshee, Strike Back, etc., is really good stuff as well.
Cool, man. Hit me up soon. Banshee is an all-time top three for me, and If you haven't watched that one, it's one of those things. Like I would always tell people, if you've never listened to our show, go listen to the Pepper Spray episode. If you don't like that, you won't like the show. And like Rick and Morty, I always tell them, go watch Pickle Rick. If you don't like that, you won't like the show. If you don't like Banshee, then we have nothing alike in tastes.
Like, I figured I would like Rick and Morty when I heard you talking about it, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I was like, eh, maybe I'll try it. Then when I saw my kids liked it, and my son literally has a Rick and Morty poster hanging up in his room, cat a corner from the Tupac poster. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is a good show. I watched a few episodes, and I'm like, okay, I get it. I see why, you know, everybody likes this. It's a pretty funny show. Really good show.
I'm Tiny Rick! There's just so many episodes of that I love. And then, so far, your season four has been, you know, first two I wasn't crazy about, but then they picked up really fast. So, but yeah, but I would just say, go watch Banshee, and I didn't realize you hadn't watched The Boys.
No, I have not.
That is the best new show of the year. And Witcher, I liked, but I didn't think AJ would like it. I don't think you would like it.
Witcher? What's that about?
It's based on a video game based on books. And it's basically, Henry Cavill's fantastic in it. He plays this, you know, emotionless, sword-wielding, long-haired dude. And, you know, that's basically the plot. So... I enjoyed it, but I like that kind of stuff. So
yeah, it's the fantasy stuff. Like it took me, I want to say, like five or almost six seasons to like really get into Game of Thrones. And once I finally was like, okay, I'm gonna dive in, and I binge watched it. And after the first few episodes, I was like, okay, I'm digging this. I'm in. But normally with stuff like that, it'll take me a little while to get into it. But once I like find something that I'm liking about it, a story, a plot, a character or whatever, I'm committed and I'll stick with it. So a lot of this stuff, it doesn't sound interesting to me right now, but I guarantee you once I start watching it and I get attached to something about it, I'll commit to it.
Well, and what's funny about The Witcher, it did more downloads than Stranger Things.
Really?
I think it's because gamers got into it, but... I think most people don't realize that most fantasy is not nearly... I mean, Game of Thrones was different. It was a fantasy show that managed to capture people's attention because, you know, it was also politics, and it had little people and dragons and sex and boobs. But most of them aren't like that. This one is... I mean, I don't know why it's captured everybody. I liked it. I'll watch it, but I'll watch fantasy a lot more than I will. Well, that's why I watched that His Dark Materials. That was kind of a fail, though. You know, kind of like people who think the Earth is not round.
That is so... I just don't understand how you can be a grown, functioning adult without, like, any type of mental incapacitation and think that the Earth is flat. That is just beyond me. Like, how do you possibly think the Earth is flat? Like, just look at the pictures. I mean, if that doesn't support it, then... You know what? Go on a sailboat and prove to us that the Earth is flat. Go sail off the end of the Earth then. Go fly off into space once you reach the whatever wall you think is there or whatever. Like, how do you understand? How do you think that the Earth is flat? Like, there's two poles. If you think there's a North and a South Pole, then how is the Earth flat?
Oh, well, what if there's not a North and South Pole? That's just the media telling us this. Why are we supposed to believe it?
Go to the North Pole and you find out then.
Well, why am I going to the North Pole? I don't need to go there. It's a media myth. It doesn't exist.
Gee, oh, man. These people are flat. So stupid.
I still think we need a reality show of flat earthers walking the entire Earth to prove that it ends somewhere.
Oh, I think we want
to... And watching them freeze to death in Antarctica.
I want to shoot one of those bastards into space and let them take a look then.
No, because yes. That sounds like a fun thing to do. That's somebody deserves to go on the fun trip of going to outer space like a roller coaster. No, make them walk through Antarctica and realize, oh, crap, if I keep going, I'm just going to end in Africa.
You can make the outer space thing unpleasant. Just, you know, little things like don't give them something to poop in their suit.
Make the shuttle out of paper mache.
I'm not going to say that. I was so close. I was so close. I'm not going to do it. All right. Quick break. We have one last segment to go. A little Hey Man Bleep That. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This
is The Blitz.
The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
Guys, it's time. I can tell you now, the hair's coming in great, and it looks good. I feel better. You can feel better, too. And, you know, it's been a few months now. Still hasn't grown out quite to where it's going to be, but it looks amazing. And it was all a simple procedure that I did in a day. And I believe me, this isn't hair plugs. This isn't some goofy thing. This is your own hair. Dr. Linville extracts individual follicles from the back of your head, transplants them to where you're thinning, and boom, it grows out. He can even redraw your hairline. He did mine. And the other cool thing about it is he just wants to help you guys, if you're losing your hair, to get yourself in a position where you can make the decision. Hey, I want to keep it. He did it. His hair looks fantastic. Mine looks really, really good. It's going to look fantastic here in about another month. And it's just an amazing procedure. Just go to 975hair.com and get your consultation. Just talk to Dr. Linville. Give him 5 minutes. You'll be sold. 975hair.com. Get your hair back.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. A couple things from the text line. Have any of you guys watched Letterkenny? That's how the whole conversation started. I'm sorry you missed the start of the segment.
Shame.
Yeah. Oh, well, And let's do a little Hey Man Bleep That. We'll let Jermaine start off because I want to respond to a text where he says, I will admit the earth is round once Jermaine admits that he's a dog dad.
Yeah, that was my friend Joe. And Joe sent me that text on my actual phone. Listen, people, I have two kids. Those are my actual kids. They came from my loins. Those pets that we have, those two dogs, the little Chiweenie and the Frenchie, Max and Brownie, they are pets. You own pets. You have and give birth to kids. No, I am not a dog dad. I am a pet owner. So to that, I have to say,
hey, man, that.
Oh, you're a puppy parent. Admit it. All right, Aaron, why don't you go?
Mine, we've talked about the last 2 days, to the a-hole who decided that they wanted to be a hacker and develop viruses that shut down computer systems. I hope you get the rarest form of syphilis that they can never cure, and your thing rots off.
What if it's a girl?
I hope it gets sewn shut. I don't know, but I hate this person with all of my might. I started yesterday with basically a computer and a half. I'm down to 0.75 computers now in here, and it makes my job really freaking difficult. And now we have to replace almost everything in this office. Because one guy decided he was just going to be a smartass and, hey, I'm going to shut down your whole system because I can. No. Go do something. The government will pay you to shut stuff down for them and then pay you to tell them how you did it. You don't need to go do it to other people who aren't asking for it. Get a life. Do something else with your time. You know what? Kill yourself. But, hey, man, that.
Well, I'm just curious about the legal repercussions. If we were to be able to track who it was and find them, would it be okay if we sent someone to kill them?
I would love to be... I don't want to kill them, but I'd love to be there right before that so I can kick them right in between the
maybe
legs.
Some torture. We tie them to a chair and... You know, I read this
Boudreaux
book. Maybe not that far, I was going to say. I read this book where they hit golf balls at a guy.
I'm okay with that.
Maybe. You know what? No.
You know what? We've got a really good golfer on the staff. I bet Granato could, you know, use some swing adjustment.
No.
How about we hog tie them, put syrup on their face, and then put them face down in a pile of red ants?
I'll just give them to Boudreaux. I think that was the right call. All right, here's mine, and this is for parents like you, who are also puppy parents, but more for children, real-life children. I don't know if you saw the story. A guy got arrested for storming the wrestling mat and leveling his son's opponent during a high school wrestling match. Man, I don't understand why parents do stuff like this. This is an extreme example. But if you're one of those parents who's living your failed athletic life through your children to the point where you yell at other kids or you yell at other coaches on the other team, or you get involved way beyond what you're supposed to, please stop. Please stop. That's not good parenting. It's not good coaching. It's not good anything. And yeah, and you know when you've crossed the line. All of you do. I'm sure you've yelled at some other kid at some point because, you know, you're unstable.
Yeah, but I actually got in trouble, no joke, for jacking up a kid who ran into my son on a bike. It was some other little kid's brother, and they made me go apologize to the kid and his mom, buy him a basketball the next day.
Boy, that's good of you to do that, because there's some criminal stuff there they could get you for.
Yeah, I know. That was back when I was a lot more unhinged than what I am now. I'm only slightly unhinged now.
Yeah, well, I'm about as laid back as you can. I'm so laid back I could be a sloth now, so nothing bothers me. But I get it, man, because you know, my kids, when they played soccer, it used to drive me nuts that there was the one little kid who'd run circles around him and score 11 goals, and he was always 2 feet tall, and you know, and then he'd talk trash, and then, of course, my son would just run over him because he was like linebacker size, and you know, but I never got involved with any of that stuff because of course, my kids weren't very good too. So if they had been good, maybe it'd be different. Anyway,
it was just that one time that I did it, and ever since then, I try to stay away from other people's kids because like I jack up my own kids. Like I think kids should be jacked up. That's how I grew up. That's how I think kids should be raised. But apparently, the rest of the world doesn't feel like that.
Oh, well, to this guy I say, hey, man, f*** that. All right, some good stuff. A-Shock asked, did y'all talk King leaving to Miami? If not, thoughts? Bye.
Later.
I don't have any more thoughts on him. I mean, to me, my interest is what UH does to replace him. I mean, I mentioned this yesterday. I don't know why the kid felt the need to lie to everyone and keep saying he was coming back when everyone over there told me, no, he's out of here. And he quit on his team, and I guess he was just trying to hide that. Good luck in Miami. I don't see you doing a whole lot there because that program's not very good. So
it's like
I hope he does okay. I just don't care what happens now. So
terrible decision by him, but hey, U of H is going to be okay, I think. I posted that on the U of H Facebook group page the other day. I think they'll be fine. Good riddance.
Yeah, Dana will find somebody. I'm not too worried about it, so... Adios. All right. That is going to wrap it up. Man, people are posting pictures from these Houston Sports Awards. Man, I'm glad I don't have to dress up for crap like that anymore. All right. Great job, Aaron. Great job by John Granato. Great job by Jermaine. Made it easy on me. Want to thank the True Anomaly guys for bringing in the beer. Hope you enjoy yours. Aaron, when you start drinking again, hope you enjoy that.
Oh, I will.
And, well, you've had their stuff before. We will be at Tight Ends tomorrow in League City. Come out and join us from 4 to 7. And Nick Sharara will hang around for two more hours after that. Till tomorrow. Stay sporty, bitches.